This episode of Rob Has a Podcast is made possible in part by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, who allow me to make good on my promise to podcast 1 hour per week for every 1 second of time that Joe is talking on Survivor. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, visit robhasawebsite.com/patron or click on the banners in the top of robhasawebsite.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man with a Q rating far lower than Mark the Chicken, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. Special coverage of this season's Survivor. And then later on, we'll get into talking about the Big Brother Canada with a man, my good friend, the host of reality TV Happy Hour. It's Jordan Parhar.
What's up, Rob? Thank you for having me on. You know, we're at a point in our relationship where the only way I can get on RHAP is for me to win a bet against you.
Yes.
And big shout out to Cassandra from Big Brother Canada 4 for coming through, making it to jury. And hey, Rob, you know, she could actually win the game.
She could.
You never know.
She could. You know, we had a bet when we did the Big Brother Canada preview for this season that I thought that she would be the first out, if not one of the first out, and I felt like that she was going to be somebody that definitely wasn't going to make the jury. Jordan felt very strongly about her, and I stupidly wagered Jordan's voicemail segment this season on that, and he won the bet. And it was a dumb bet for me to make because I like having you on the voicemails, and why would I, like, I had nothing to gain from winning the bet. Like, it was dumb. It was a dumb bet. So she has gone very far. She may even win the season. So kudos to you, my friend. And even though this is not technically one of the voicemails, I just ran out of weeks this season.
It happens, Rob. I get it. Being a podcast host of my own, I understand how tough it is to book people and be organized and scheduled. And you got so many things going on. So it's all good. It happens. And yeah, big ups to Cass. Rob, you're continuing your great streak of Big Brother predictions before the season. I mean, you had Ian and you had John Party.
Yes, I was hot for a while.
But you also,
for the record, not that Nicole will listen to this. Nicole had Ian.
Oh yeah, that's right. Nicole had Ian. You had
Andy,
Danielle.
Andy.
Oh, Andy. So you had. Yes. Sorry. Oh gee, all the RHAP super fans are going to kill me for getting that wrong.
Yeah.
But
I think I had a lot of my eggs in the Dan basket in Big Brother 14.
That's right. When he hit the reset, I think you had Danielle, then you switched it to Dan.
Yes.
You switched it to Dan. So really, you guys had the final three unlock. Yeah, that's right. Nicole Stradamus, who could forget? But what I was going to say is, you know, we can't forget Big Brother 16 when, you know, Derek was going to be, you know, first out and how he was going to be so bad, Rob. Then, you know, now it goes on to be one of the greatest ever. So there you go.
Yeah. He was on the podcast on Friday talking about Big Brother Canada. We actually talked some Survivor as well towards the end. And yeah, I felt like coming off of the Tony win in Cagayan, I said, oh, here comes this police officer. Who does he think he's fooling? He's going to say that he works for the Parks Department or something. Nobody's buying that. Everybody's going to be on to him and goes on to become one of the greatest Big Brother players there ever was. So what do I know? If you think my Survivor predictions are bad and you don't listen to the Big Brother coverage, all right, my Survivor predictions are not that bad, okay? Just goes to show you. Things could always be worse.
You know, Anna-Kate wasn't that bad, right? I mean, it was okay.
Whatever. I predict she's going to win Running Up Reno. That's my prediction.
That's a prediction. Okay. Well, you know, I'm going to predict that Kevin Martin from Big Brother Canada 3 is going to win Running Up Reno, Rob. So there you go.
Yes, very excited to see them there. Is Kevin officially confirmed Running Up Reno?
Maybe I spoiled that he's going, but Kevin will be there. My good buddy from my season of Big Brother. So that should be a lot of fun. He's trying to convince me to go. I don't really think logistically I'm going to be able to pull it off. Also, I know nothing about poker, so I feel like I would be a little bit of a fish out of water if I did go, but it sounds like it'll be a really fun time.
Okay. All right. Well, that being said, so very excited to have you back here on the podcast. You've been podcasting about Big Brother Canada all season long on the reality TV wrap ups. And that's been very, very fun. We're down to now, we're about 10 days away from the Big Brother Canada finale. What you have big plans for that finale?
Yeah, big plans, Rob. You know, I've been waiting for this for a long time. This is the first season since I've been out of the house. So I figured, you know what, I better make sure that I've got an open evening planned. So I'm going to get home from school that night. I actually bought an ice cream cake from Dairy Queen with Cassandra's face on it. And I'm going to sit there and watch the finale and eat it all by myself. And it's going to be really fun. So I can't wait.
Okay. All right. So also, in addition to that, I feel like that the survivor listeners are, we're starting to lose them with some of this Big Brother Canada talk. So the way I want to work this is that I want to talk survivor, exhaust the survivor questions that I have for you, and then we'll get into Big Brother Canada. Because the way I look at it is that there will be very few people listening to this podcast that only care about Big Brother Canada and don't care about Survivor. I'm going to go under the assumption that people either care about Survivor or care about both. So let me service the people who just care about the Survivor. And of course, for longtime listeners, they know that Jordan Parhar is a huge Survivor fan. You even podcast about this season in the early days before Big Brother Canada started with both Randy Bailey, right?
Yeah, Randy Bailey and Ryan Elder. It was really fun. And
love Ryan Elder.
Yeah, Ryan Elder's awesome. I really like Ryan a lot. And yeah, those podcasts were really fun. I had a great time doing those. But once the Big Brother Canada 4 started, I had to kind of put that aside, the Survivor stuff, and focus exclusively on Big Brother. So wish I could be podcasting more about Survivor this season, but maybe we can do some more in the fall.
Well, here we are. We're ready to go. And we've got a bunch of questions here for you. So why don't we jump into it? Let's get in a question from someone who I know very much is trying to get one of their voicemails onto the show. Here is Rachel from Florida.
Hi, Rob and Jordan. This is Rachel from Florida. Since the merge, Aubrey and Sydney have been a really tight duo, but I think they're both savvy players and know that they shouldn't be taking each other to the end. Who do you think is going to make the first move to get the other out? Thanks.
Okay. They're both savvy players, I hear. All right. So we have Aubrey and Sydney. Do you have a horse in this race, Jordan?
Ooh, I personally am more of the Aubrey. I'm on Team Aubrey. I'm not like Derek Levasseur. I am an Aubrey fan. I think she's played a great game. I hope she wins this season. I think Sydney's done great as well, but give me Team Aubrey.
You know, it's funny, though. We haven't really heard either of them say in confessional. You haven't heard Sydney say that, boy, I really like Aubrey, but I know I can't go to the end with her. And vice versa, we haven't heard Aubrey say that about Sydney. So it'll be interesting to see if they are feeling that way. I'm presuming that they want to go to the end with each other. Is that dangerous presumption?
I think, here's the thing. I think maybe for Sydney, she does, because I think for her, she just wants to go to the end with people she likes. And I think Sydney's confident enough that she thinks, hey, I can probably beat anybody at the end. And with the, she realizes correctly that she could probably crush Aubrey in challenges, physically at least. Whereas for Aubrey, I think with her, it's probably more of a dilemma. I think she genuinely seems to like Sydney, but she knows. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot tougher to beat her in the end. I think what it comes down to for Aubrey, I think, is she's going to go to the end with Grandpa Joe. She wants to go with Grandpa Joe.
That's
the dead weight. So it's, who do you want to go to the end with? You know what? Honestly, I think with how Aubrey has done, I think Aubrey should just focus on getting to the end with Grandpa Joe and then worrying about the final tribal speech when she gets there. I think she can argue against any of these people left in the game. I think she's played probably the best game, and maybe that's just from the editor. Maybe, and that's how we're supposed to be seeing it, but that's how I would look at it. So yeah, maybe I think Aubrey's probably thinking about it. And because of that, I think she probably would be the one to strike first. But I don't think she really needs to. I think she's okay. She's in a spot where she can pretty much win against anybody at this point.
Yeah, I think Aubrey is saying, okay, I'm going to take Joe. And then who is the third person in that final three? I mean, it doesn't seem like it's Ty. I don't think it's Michelle. She's not talking about Michelle in that way. And though she said that Jason seems like he would be somebody who would be easy to beat at the final three, I don't think her plan is to say my final three is me, Joe, and Jason, right? It seems hard that she would double back and screw over Sydney, Michelle, and Ty to try to get to the end with Jason, right?
It is, but I mean, you never know. I think that right now, I actually think Jason is in a really good spot because he's kind of left for dead. And I think he's somebody who's going to be bold and he's probably going to pitch something to Aubrey that says, hey, look, you should go to the, you've got to cut one of, you know, these other people, before it's too late because you want to guarantee the win. Go to the end with me. You'll beat me in the end. If it's us two and Joe, it's a done deal. So I think that, you know, because of that, if we have that variable in there of Jason being this free agent who's willing to do whatever it takes to survive, I think that might get the wheels turning with Aubrey and that might convince her to make a big play this upcoming week. We saw it on the preview this week. Aubrey seemed to be a little bit distraught about what's going down next week. So maybe that's a sign of things to come. But I think that ultimately the Ty thing, that's the biggest variable is we're down to six. Ty has this idol and Ty has this advantage. Really, what happens next is going to be dependent on what Ty does with those two advantages.
All right, let's go and talk more about Sydney. This is a question from Isaac.
Hi, Robin Jordan. Isaac from Wisconsin calling. I have a question about Sydney. Sydney never seems to get any credit for the moves she's making in this game. People seem to only talk about Aubrey, Michelle, Ty, or Jason, but I really think that Sydney has a great chance to win this game. Why do you think Sydney's not getting any credit for the moves that she's making when she's been a quietly brilliant player? Your thoughts?
And I'm like, brr!
Yeah, why isn't Sydney getting more credit for the moves that she's been making?
I think amongst the players, I think there's really this idea of if you're in the game, when you get screwed over by somebody, you tend to have vitriol towards them. You have some disdain towards them. You're upset. And I think with Sydney going against the bronze, going against Jason and Scott, I think that kind of, soured them. And I think in general, it just in terms of the edit, for whatever reason, it just doesn't seem to be going. It seems to be more Aubrey centered. So I think that in terms of the fans, I think that's where it's coming from. And in terms of the people in the actual game, in terms of the credit, I think perhaps that's where it's coming from. And yeah, I mean, Sydney has been playing a great game though. She has been doing a great
Sydney
job.
With a C.
Yes. Sydney with a C. Yes. Don't want to screw that up, but,
she was given to us by the universe to balance out Cindy with an S.
Yes, of course. And we definitely needed something to balance that out because it was not good. It was not good just having that in there. So thank you, Sydney with the C. I'm a much bigger fan, of you.
Don't check me, boo.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. It's one of those things. It's weird within every cast. You watch these games, you watch Survivor, you watch Big Brother, and you think, why does so-and-so not get credit? Why do they not get credit? And every cast is different. The dynamics are different. And when you screw someone over, I think that's really what it comes down to is that entire thing. Aubrey has not done that really. She has to people who she wasn't really tight with. I guess she did it to Debbie, but I think the public perception of at least amongst the players on this season of Debbie probably wasn't that high to begin with. So when you screw her over, it's not as big of a deal.
Cockburn, you screwed me over.
So let's just talk about Sydney's moves. I think it does present some sort of an interesting problem for her. So, okay, we have the Neil medevac, whatever. That doesn't really affect anything with her. And then the first vote after the merge, that's when she flips against the guys, making enemies out of Jason and Scott, and to some degree, maybe Ty at that point. The next vote that happens is this move where they vote against Debbie. Now, I don't know if Debbie is going to look at Sydney as a person who was part of this, that she was like the mastermind. I think that Debbie is probably blames Aubrey more for that. So maybe, you know, there's a possibility that Debbie's in play for a Sydney vote at the end. And then the vote that comes after that, that's when Scott ends up going home. And so Sydney never really did right by Scott. So he's over on the jury and he's sort of salty with her. And then this week we had the vote where Julia goes home. And so Julia feels sort of left out by Sydney. And so I just don't see a lot of Sydney fans on the jury as it goes. And I feel like the only way for Sydney to get to the end, I feel like she can't beat Aubrey. And then I feel like that if she goes to the end with Jason, I think that Jason also has his fans. And to get to the end with Jason, she's going to have to screw over more people on the jury. So I guess I'm having a hard time seeing the scenario where Sydney wins, unless she goes to the end with, say, Michelle and Joe, and people feel like, okay, she made moves where she's sort of like can be painted as sort of like a Tony, where she's sort of like bounced around back and forth. But I feel like that people will say that she didn't really have loyalty to any group. And I'm not sure if she can sort of say, you know, pound her chest and say, I played the best game, give me the money.
Yeah. And if you're going to be, if you're going to not have loyalty to any group, you should go out and be bold, make huge moves and show that, hey, you are a gamer. You are really playing the game hard, because I feel like that's the only thing you can appeal to at the end of the game when you're trying to argue to the jury as to why you should win. I think that if Sydney was going to go down that route, she should have gone with Julia and Jason this week, and she should have taken a shot at Ty with Michelle. I think that would have been a very bold move, and that's something that she could point to on her resume that she did. She doesn't have that at this point. Next week, we'll see what happens, but yeah, I think she's going to have to be really bold down the stretch, or like you said, ended up in a situation with people like, you know, a Michelle and a Joe. And even then, I don't know if she could beat Michelle. I think Michelle has a lot of fans on the jury and friends. And I think that right now, Michelle could argue that she's done probably just as much as Sydney has.
And while I want to give credit to Sydney, the player, I'm not on that jury. So what I'm saying is that I'm having a hard time seeing the scenario where she can get 5 of 8 jury votes against the people that she might be matched up against. I kind of feel like that Michelle and Joe is really the only scenario where maybe if Jason and Scott are on the jury with her, maybe they kind of feel like, okay, well, she did play the best game. She might be able to appeal to sort of that Braun connection. I'm not really seeing it right now for a Sydney win.
I could see Jason and Joe. If she was at the end with those two, I could see her argue against them. She's kind of the third candidate. She's different than both of them. I think that there are, yes, Jason does have his supporters,
but even then in that scenario, don't you feel like that, you know, Aubrey probably got screwed over by Sydney in that scenario? She's been tight with Joe. Debbie loves Joe. Like, I kind of feel like that Joe is going to start to pull away some of those brain votes. You have Jason.
They're not going to vote for Grandpa Joe. Come on, Rob, really? Like, he's done nothing. Did you see his Ponderosa videos this week? Like, he's just like, Joe is, he's out to lunch. I think they all realize
that. Sure, but you're saying that as a viewer of the show, he's out to lunch. It went for the people that were there 39 days with him. Aubrey was there with him every step of the way. I'm sure she's become very close with him. Debbie was very close with Joe. I asked Debbie about Joe in the exit interview. I said, was Joe doing anything? She's like, you have no idea. Joe was such a solid guy. So don't confuse the edit with what's actually happening there.
I guess. But
if Aubrey feels really burned by Sydney, and, you know, Joe is there at the end and Joe was her loyal partner in the game, she'll vote for Joe.
Yeah, I just would hope that Aubrey, but again, we're dealing with humans are emotional creatures. Yes. And that's a good point. So it'll be interesting. I still think she would have a chance, but I do hear your argument. I think you're right. Debbie probably will vote for Joe, which is going to make me very upset when I watch the
finale.
I mean,
how many times in the history, you've watched all these shows between Survivor, Big Brother, Big Brother Canada, how many times have we seen somebody who's on the jury? There's two choices for them. There is a person that screwed them over and a person who did nothing, but they were their good friend in the game. How many times have we seen the juror say, you know what, good friend, I can't vote for you. I have to vote for the person that screwed me over. I mean, I think it's probably a handful of times.
Yeah, if that. And really, I mean, what it does come down to with the votes a lot of times is who do you like more? So I guess
Who's going to half Murphy Sydney in that jury?
That's a good point. I don't know who would half Murphy Sydney.
I think it could be if Aubrey gets just screwed over, not by Sydney for whatever reason, where it's like, okay, that, you know, Jason, Ty, and Michelle, like, you know, they vote out Aubrey at like final five or something like that, and Sydney was blindsided by that. I think Aubrey could be that person on the jury saying, like, hey, Sydney did the best. She played the best game. You know, don't be mad at her because she won. I could see that. But outside of that, I don't really see an advocate for Sydney on the jury.
No. Nick, no. Debbie, no. Scott, no. Julia, no. Neil, no. Yeah. Aubrey would probably be the only one. And I don't even think Aubrey would, especially if she got screwed over by her. I don't think Aubrey would either.
Not if she got screwed over by her.
If it was like some tie situation this upcoming week.
Tie plays the extra vote this week and they end up blindsiding Aubrey at final six or something like that.
Right. Right. On the tie thing, though, with the vote, which is going in a different direction, I feel like it's not going to work for him, though. I think we know this at this point. But Steven said on Know It Alls a few weeks ago, with the fact that on Cambodia, it was a vote steal, not just an extra vote. I think that's a little bit of a preview that this is not going to go well for Ty. So I think if Aubrey does go, it's probably as a result of the only way Aubrey goes and she's not screwed by Sydney is if it's just through the idol via Ty. But I feel like Ty, I don't even think Ty would target Aubrey in that scenario.
Like a weird scenario though, that would have to happen for Aubrey to go home after Ty plays the idol. There would have to be enough votes on Ty where it's like she would have to be voting against Ty and then Ty would have to be voting for her. In that scenario, that's kind of a weird scenario.
Weird. Yeah, that would be weird. I don't think Ty would do that.
All right. I've got so many questions for you, and let's keep going with all of this stuff. How about a question about Aubrey? Want to talk about a question from Aubrey?
Let's do it.
Okay. That I got a tweet from Will last night, and he said, "You better play my voicemail on the podcast." I don't usually respond to threats, but let me just keep Will happy.
Hi, Rock and Rob. It's Will Simon from America, and I'm really drunk. I was just wondering, you've been, like, pretty high on Aubrey's moves so far, even when your guests have given you a bunch of crap about it. So I was just wondering if you think that, since Aubrey is, like, in a pretty good spot, does that mean that she's been making good moves as you said she was in the past? Or is that being too results-oriented? So I just love to see what you think about the survivors. Hashtag blindside. Peace out.
All right. So I've been saying that Aubrey has been making good moves all throughout the merge. Do you feel like, have I just been results oriented? Have I just been saying that Aubrey is making good moves because they've been working?
I think maybe a little bit, Rob, just because of the edit, but I'm guilty of it too. I think a lot of us probably are, because that's how we are being shown Aubrey. Aubrey's being presented to us as somebody who is really running the show. She's running, she's running things. It's her, a lot of this is her story and how she's overcome all this kind of stuff. So I think your viewpoint might be a little bit skewed in that scenario because, we go back to the whole super idol thing with voting out Debbie like that. I mean,
her other move at that spot? I kind of feel like that. I don't know where the controversy is with Aubrey. So let's just go through the merge real quick and go through her moves. Obviously, Neil gets medevaced out of the game. There's no move to be made there. Then at the next vote, she was going to get voted out. And then they decide to vote out Nick. So I think that was kudos. Aubrey, good move. She did not get voted out and voted out Nick. So a strong move there for her. Then, right? She was going to get voted out, right? I know they were targeting her at the Neil vote.
No, wasn't it at the Neil vote where they said it was either him or her. But yes, Aubrey was supposed to be the next one to go. And ultimately, yes, it was Nick. So you got that, Rob.
Okay. And then, so the next vote, this was the controversial one where I felt like that she made a good move where they voted out Debbie there instead of either trying to split the votes. But again, as I said in my interview with Julia, like it was Julia held all the cards there. It was Julia who had to decide, hey, do I either vote out Sydney? Do I go with the vote split? Or do I go with this plan to vote out Debbie? So that's not Aubrey's decision in terms of what Julia ultimately, you could say that, she could have like really, pounded the table and gotten Julia to vote with her. But Julia wanted to do a move that wasn't going to offend anybody. She wanted to play the middle, the mighty middle, and not piss the guys off and not piss the girls off. So she did that move where it's like, okay, let me just take out Debbie. And then it's like, Aubrey and Sydney, I'm still working with you. And Jason and Scott, I'm still working with you. So with that being said, and really her original move was that she wanted to vote out Julia, who won immunity. So what other move did Aubrey have at that point? Let Sydney get voted out of the game?
Well, let's see what the vote would have been. Okay, so that tribal council, so Debbie goes home. The vote is 4-3-2. Aubrey votes for Debbie. Sydney votes for Debbie. Michelle votes for Debbie. Julia votes for Debbie.
Yes.
Okay. We have Joe votes for Scott.
Right.
Yeah. Joe votes for Scott. Debbie votes for Scott.
Yeah.
Ty, Jason, and Scott all vote for Sydney. So, here's what it really can. Yes, it ultimately did work out for Aubrey because we got rid of the super idol. We didn't have to deal with that anymore.
At the next vote.
At the next vote, not at this one. So at the time, I mean, really, I think your goal there is I personally think I would vote for Scott, make it a three. Cause then if that happens, then it's a 3-3-3 tie. Okay, maybe I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here. I'm just trying to think, just running this scenario. This one was tough for me watching that episode because I was a little, just slightly intoxicated at the live know-it-alls.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so what's the 3-3-3? So it's three votes Scott, three votes Debbie, three votes Sydney. Is that right?
Three votes Debbie, three votes Scott, three votes Sydney. Okay. So those three would be immune from the vote. Which means, and they wouldn't vote again, and everyone else would vote, correct? Mm-hmm. Right. So, isn't that everyone though, right? Like, so what, or I guess they'd have to vote again to see if they wanted to change it.
So they re-vote now, and now Scott, Debbie, and Sydney can't vote.
They can't vote, and then the rest of them would have to vote again, and it would, let's see, those three, I think, all voted for different people.
Okay, so here's what it would come. So let's talk this through real quick, okay?
Okay.
Julia, Michelle, Jason, Ty, Aubrey, and Joe all have to re-vote. So now when push comes to shove, Julia and Michelle have to put their cards on the table. Do they want to stay loyal to the women or stay loyal to the guys? So what do they do when push comes to shove?
I mean, they showed that they were staying loyal to the guys, so they would probably stay loyal to the guys. So if they did that, then we're going to rocks. I mean, I feel like Julia is one of these people who, and I love Julia, played a phenomenal game. She did a great job. Very impressed with her all the way through. But I think she's big on self-preservation. I don't think she would want to go to rocks. I feel like at that point, they would have just been like, hey, I mean, it's tough at tribal council because I don't really know how much communication can happen at that stage when it is a tie. But I don't know. I feel like you got to at least try that to get rid of that idol and hold your ground. Don't just give into that because then, I mean, hypothetically, if Ty give the next episode, if Scott is given the super idol by Ty, or if Ty doesn't flip or whatever, and those three stay solid, I mean, there's almost nothing Aubrey can do, and Aubrey, your game is pretty much over. At least in this scenario, she's trying to force this to happen to try to flush this out.
Yeah, I just reject that argument because that I feel like that week, everybody was treating Final Nine, this is last chance saloon for getting rid of the super idol. If you do, this is the point of no return. If we do not get rid of the super idol tonight, we are done for. And we saw the next week, the next tribal council, Aubrey was able to end up disarming the super idol by getting Ty to flip over. So I feel like that was such a false narrative of if they did not strike at the final nine, the super idol was going to lead to Jason and Scott winning the game when it wasn't like, oh, there was a medevac that they couldn't have possibly predicted that they would have this other opportunity, that she was able to use her social game and get Ty to come back over and vote with them at the following vote.
But I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's like, it's tough to rely on that. I think really, I mean, if you have a clear path in front of you to get rid of that, why worry about doing all that extra work?
Hold on. Let me just stop right there. I mean, this scenario that you and I are like getting out pads and paper and talking about, okay, now it's a 2-2-2 vote. Who's voting where? I mean, that's not like a clear way to disarm the idol. Like we still don't even know how these people are voting on the tiebreak vote.
Yeah, that is true.
It wasn't like, oh, all she had to do was this and it would have completely changed everything. It's like, okay, now we're going into some sort of like complicated scenario where we're having like this contested vote. It's like the, you know, Republican convention here where it's like, who knows? Okay, well, now after the first vote, now these superdelegates are going to switch. Who knows what's going to happen at that point?
Yeah, it's true. But I mean, I, I, I always feel like if you have an option to at least try to make something happen to get rid of it, like, why not try that and try to force people's hands in that scenario? And I really, really think Julia's big on self-preservation, and she would have, I mean, a lot of these people are, I think they would have been like, hey, you know what? I don't want to go to rocks. Let's just vote Scott at this point. Let's force him to play the idol. We know he has it. Let's just make this happen. But
she's not going to rocks. If you say that Julia and Michelle are just saying like, okay, well, let's not go to rocks. You're relying on, if Michelle is going to stick with Aubrey and Joe on that vote and still vote again for Scott, then you have everything with Jason and Ty and Julia voting for Sydney still on that vote. I think you're relying on Julia flipping at it's just there's so much that's unclear.
There is a lot that, yes, absolutely. There's a lot that's unclear, and there's a lot that we don't know. But what the initial question was should Aubrey have made a different move? And my argument is that yes, she should have made a different move because she should have at least tried something. We don't know what would have happened. We don't know if this would have worked to get rid of the super idol. But Rob, we do know that if she did try to force their hand, and if she did make it a 3-3-3 tie and she did vote for Scott, then there's a chance it would have happened. Debbie would have stayed in the game. She would have a loyal person with her in the game who is all brains, who is expendable as well. And potentially you flush this thing. Worst case scenario, you know, maybe they play the super idol, they flush it, Sydney goes home. I think if I'm Aubrey, I'd rather have Debbie in the game than Sydney. So,
well, let's agree to disagree on this. We're getting caught in the
disagree.
Weeds.
Yeah, we can agree to disagree. We don't know what would have happened, but I think, you know, it would have, I think, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I think if we didn't know going into this, I think that would have been the better move. But with how things have worked out, they've worked out just fine for Aubrey. And personally, I still think she's going to win this game.
Okay, then final eight, we don't have any issue with the move to get Scott out of the game. No. That worked out fine. I think that maybe we might say, because I feel like of the four votes that she's done, maybe the idea to vote out Julia instead of Jason, I think that Jason, it seems like somebody that he might be able to unite a counter resistance to her, an insurgency up against her, more so than Julia was. I think that that might be, of the four votes she's made, I think that maybe the idea of taking out Julia instead of Jason might be the worst of those four if I was going to rank them.
But I think I would disagree on that as well, because, you know, keeping Jason in the game.
Well, now you're just being contrarian.
No, but hear me out. Hear me out, Rob. Hear me out. Julia, okay, she's somebody who her social game is off the charts. She's got these relationships with people. And, you know, she's really tight with Michelle.
Hold on. Let's not get too hyperbolic with her social game is off the charts. Ty, after the vote, said to her, hey, can I just explain to you about what happened? And she said,
honestly, I really don't care.
Okay, maybe I'm getting a little hyperbolic, but I just am a huge Julia fan. But I do think that that relationship with Michelle, very threatening. You don't see Jason having any direct tie by getting yes, I didn't mean to do that. But you don't see Jason having a direct person to have that he has in their back pocket. Julia always is going to have that relationship with Michelle. By getting rid of Julia, for Aubrey now, she can say, hey, Michelle, you don't need to go with Sydney. Come with me. I'll take care of you. We can go further in this game together. Mm-hmm. So I think that Julia is definitely more threatening. And Julia is very capable of playing both sides. She just gets the game. It's so impressive. I mean, for an 18-year-old, or I guess she turned 19 while she was out there, to understand all that stuff. So I think it was the right move. Jason is somebody who I don't think you need to really be scared of. I don't think they need to be scared of Jason at this point. And Jason is somebody who I think even Aubrey could work with moving forward.
A lot of game left to be played. A lot remains to be seen. Let's keep going. Let's talk about somebody that we haven't touched on too much, and that is the great Michelle. This is a question from Anthony.
Rob and JP, this is Anthony calling. I have a question about Michelle. What is Michelle's path to the end? What can she do to get to the end and pull out a win? And to be perfectly honest, I think Michelle reminds me of the winner of Rob's first season, Jenna Maraska. Do you guys see that comparison? And I'd love to hear your thoughts, and thank you.
Okay. All right, let's talk about Michelle, and let's try to go beyond the she has winner edit narrative, and let's just actually try to talk about her. And I actually do like this comparison between Michelle and Jenna Maraska, that I think that you could make a couple of different parallels about them. That one, I think there is some physical resemblance. They both are right in around that same age. Jenna is actually 21 when she plays the game. Mish is 24 when she's playing the game. But I do have to say, like, her with that immunity necklace around her neck, I feel like I kind of did see it a little bit the other night.
Yeah, she really beasted out in that challenge. I was very impressed with what she did there. So certainly, I mean, if she goes on a run here, I think that will add to her resume. In terms of her winning, though, I mean, yes, we are. There's people saying, oh, she's going to win. I know Taryn always is saying, he's like, yeah, Michelle's winning. I know she's winning, all this stuff.
Bro, and, I know.
And Taryn's just a robot. So he just knows how to figure out that kind of stuff on his own. So maybe he's right. But in terms of trying to figure this out, in terms of what she needs to do, I think she needs to get rid of Aubrey and Sydney, because those are two people that are her biggest competition, I think, at the end, in terms of winning. I think if she's sitting there with Aubrey or Sydney, I think either of those people could steal some of Michelle's votes away from her. So I think that's probably what she needs to start figuring out as of right now. However, it's going to be tough because those are the people that she's directly working with. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, Rob, what do you think about this?
Well, just to wrap out the Maraska thing, I think that it's, while I can see it, like if you squint hard enough, you could say, okay, Michelle, does she have a Jenna Maraska thing potentially? Yes, but fairness to Jenna Maraska, Jenna is voting with the correct people the whole way through in Survivor Amazon. Though she's not the person calling the shots, but she's in there making a lot of those decisions up until the point that she's blindsided at the Alex vote. And then she has like her own Heidi, which I guess you could say is a little bit of Michelle and Julia. And while Jenna would never turn on Heidi, Michelle did vote against her Heidi there at the final seven. So that's an interesting thing to sort of keep in mind. So I feel like that through 30 days, I think that Jenna was much more involved in what's going on. And Michelle, I think, is probably a little more on the sideline. But I think that Michelle has a little bit more cutthroat that maybe she's willing to get rid of her person that she's been with the whole game, where Jenna was never willing to consider voting against Heidi, even though Heidi, I think, was ready to cut Jenna. I think it's very important. All right. But moving forward from here, I think that Michelle's path to the end is not with Aubrey and Sydney. I think it is with Jason. And to this point, she has seemed reluctant to work with him, even though I think that had Sydney wanted to, she would have voted with Jason and Julia. Will she pick up Julia's torch now that Julia is gone and go with Jason? I think that probably the path that you would start to outline is, could it be potentially, if there's some sort of blind side of tie at this point, where we get down, because we're at final six, maybe is everybody on board with some sort of a blind side of Ty at final six? He has the idol. He has the advantage, even though Ty has told us a number of times,
I'm not going to go home with an idol in my pocket.
He's not going to go home with an idol in his pocket. But hypothetically, if he does at final six, maybe at final five, if there's some sort of scenario of what if Sydney feels like, oh, I'm not in good with Aubrey and Joe, I'm not in their plans for the final three. Could Sydney flip back to Jason and Michelle, and maybe Sydney, Jason, Michelle go to the finals potentially? Could that be a thing?
Yeah, I think that could work. I think that might be something that she could pull off. The only other thing I could see work that could work out in her favor is, do we know, in terms of the episodes, Rob, do we know, like, next week is a regular episode, so we'll be down to five. Do we have another episode before finale after that, or no?
Yeah, we will have two more Wednesdays and then the finale.
Two more Wednesdays and then the finale. So finale night's going to be a final four, which—
That's what it seems like.
Seems like. So could this be a final two this season as well?
I think that is definitely in the realm of possibility. And so maybe hypothetically, if could Michelle win a or even like could Jason win a final immunity and then say, I want to take Michelle to the end? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, and then she could win that, or let's say Michelle goes on a run and somehow in Final Four, or somehow Final Three, it ends up being Aubrey, Grandpa Joe, and Michelle. Michelle wins Final Immunity. She cuts Aubrey and she takes Joe. I mean, that's a pretty easy win for her there as well.
If you want to write the narrative of Michelle winning the season, two things have to happen. One, Ty has to get screwed over,
which will happen.
I'm not going to go home with an eye on my pocket.
And then Aubrey needs to also get screwed over.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there was talk about, oh, yeah, she's getting the, you know, the Sesternino edit or the Kelly Wentworth edit where she
terrible edit
the Fallen Angel edit. Yes. You know, she's doing so great and then gets screwed over right at the end. I think that's likely going to happen. I think we're getting set up for that because I think otherwise I think it would be a little too obvious that it's the, you know, Aubrey's winning. Although I don't know, Survivor's done that before with the edit, so who knows? But yeah, if Michelle's gonna win, that's what's gonna need to happen.
It's that thing when you're sitting there thinking you're Cochran's dream girl, and then you find out that you're Rob that sucks dream girl.
Total blindside.
prepare to fire. Yes.
Mike, simmer down.
Yeah, simmer down. All right, let's take another Survivor question for you. Our good friend, Johnny D. Silvera.
Ooh.
Hey, Rob and Jordan. Your 604 proper bro chacho, Johnny D. Silvera here. Of the six people remaining, what are the power rankings of least likely to win this season to most likely to win? Thanks. Love you, Bay.
Love you, Bay.
All right. I love Johnny. Johnny's awesome. Shout out to Johnny D. Silvera.
He's the best. Okay. So we haven't done this, I think, on any of the podcasts. Power rankings of the final six.
All right. Let's do it, Rob. I love, you know, if you listen to the Happy Hour, yes, you've heard some of these ranking shows we've done. Done a top five baby show before, not top six, but I think we can make this work.
Okay. So I think that it might be easier to go from the bottom up.
Sure.
So we know that the person that has the no shot to win in any scenario, it's got to be Joe, right?
Grandpa Joe, last place. I think that's the consensus. I think everyone agrees with that.
So now if we were going to say number five in the power rankings, other than Joe, who of this final five has the second worst shot to win?
I don't know if this is really going out on a limb, but I'm going to say Ty because I think it's fairly clear he's going to get screwed over. Nobody's going to take Ty to the end. Everyone knows they have no chance against Ty. So as much as I think Ty would beat any of these people if the, you know, final travel council was right now and it included the final six, I think he's got next to no chance of getting there just because everybody's going to be gunning for him from this point on.
Yeah, I think that that is a fair point because while he probably has some shot to win if he gets to the final three, which we think is probably likely going to be a final two, we have a number of the players talking about how they want no part of him in the end. And really, it takes two to tango on this we had Sydney's quote the other night. So she says, we can't go to no final three with no damn tie. As Dalton Ross pointed out on Twitter, a triple negative there. We can't go to no final three with no damn tie. So triple negative, of course, goes back to it is a negative that they cannot go with Ty. Nobody wants him in the final three.
No, he's not getting there. As much as my dad will be disappointed when his all-time favorite Survivor person is voted out. He's not going to get there.
Okay, who's it for?
This is where it gets a little interesting. I think I would just based. I hate to keep going back to the edit, but going back to the edit, I think we got to say Jason at this point. I'm going to put Jason at four. I don't think Jason has the relationships. I don't think he has enough friends on the jury to vote for him to win, just based on what we've seen so far. So I think there's a good chance he gets there. He goes far, or at least he gets close to that final tribal council. But I don't think he would really have the respect of the jury.
You do you, boo-boo.
Yeah, okay. You do you, boo-boo. All right. Then at final three. Okay. So now here we have. We have Aubrey. We have Sydney. And we have Michelle.
We do. And for me, I think Man, I think I'd probably go with Sydney just based on what we were talking about earlier. I think I would put Sydney at three just because we don't know who's going to pull the half David Murphy for her. We don't know, you know, who is really going to go out on a limb and campaign hard for Sydney to win this game. So I would probably put her at three, but it's tough.
Don't pick me, boo.
Yeah,
I think this top three is really in a tier of its own. If we wanted to do like tiers of these rankings, we would have Grandpa Joe clearly. I think maybe Ty you could put in the bottom tier as well. Perhaps Jason on a tier of his
Grandpa
own.
Grandpa Joe is in his own tier at the bottom.
He's at the bottom. You know, it's if you're doing this is actually I was going to make a deep cut reference to fantasy football, but we don't really need to go in that direction. Anyway, so yeah, I would put Sydney there. What do you think about that, Rob?
Yeah, that's fine. I think Sydney is probably three. And then because, as we've said before, she's made a lot of good moves, or that we like her game more as viewers than I think it's going to play with the jury. Hard to imagine the scenario where she's winning a jury vote at that point. Final two maybe changes things, maybe like her and Jason in the final two, especially if people are really out on Jason. But I kind of feel like that maybe the viewers are probably more out on him than the jury to some degree. So I think that I could see a scenario where she could beat Jason in a final two.
I personally think she would. I don't think she'd have too much trouble beating Jason. I really don't think Jason is very likable at all, just based on what I've seen. And maybe I'm being swindled by the edit, but you've heard multiple people talk about how Jason thinks he's running the show and Jason thinks he's the boss and all this stuff.
Yeah, right. It's probably not. It's probably not super close, but no, it's probably 5-3, I think.
Yeah. I think maybe even
depends
6-2.
On how some people go out. Like, how does Julia and Michelle, who are certainly, they seem like they're pro Jason, do they like him more than they like Sydney? Obviously he has Scott's vote. I think then you have people like Joe and Debbie that are really out on Jason. You know, how does Aubrey go out? Does she feel screwed over by Sydney? So I think it's probably in that ballpark of like, I don't think it's a blowout.
No. Probably not quite a blowout, but at the same time, I think it would be like, I think Sydney would be comfortable if that was a scenario, but, let's jump to two, Rob. This is where it gets
tough.
Okay,
well, now it comes down to, are you a man of science or a man of faith with Michelle versus Aubrey? Were you a Lost fan?
Oh, I was a big Lost fan, yeah. And
are you Jack here or are you John Locke?
Well, you know, when I watched Lost, I was always, I debated for a little bit. I was like, ooh, which direction do I want to go? I don't know. And when I first started watching Lost, I was pretty young. But eventually, I came to my senses and realized, no, I am a man of science. I'm a man of Jack Shepard. And in this scenario, we're going to go in that direction as well. So I'm saying Aubrey's at one, and I'm putting Michelle at two.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Yeah, I think you have to, I feel like if you have Michelle as number one in the power rankings right now, I think that you have the chance to be burned a lot more than by having, like, if you don't have Aubrey at number one in the power rankings and she wins the season, you look a lot worse than if you have Michelle at number one and then Aubrey wins the season. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. And
Said that wrong in the second part.
Bro, I know.
Okay. We know.
But the Aubrey thing, I mean, I've mentioned, I think I've contradicted myself a few times. I've said she's going to win. Then I said she's getting the Fallen Angel edit. I mean, it's one of two. She's either going to win or she's going to come up just short with Michelle. I mean, I think we have a lot of stuff needs to happen in order for her to win. So I think that's why we have to put Aubrey at one and Michelle at two.
And then in terms of Sydney, I also just want to walk back about how tough I think it's going to be for her to win. If it's a final two, I think she probably matches up better with a lot of these people if she makes it to the finals in a final two than in a final three. I think if it's a binary choice for people, I think she actually is probably a more favorable matchup against a couple people like a Michelle. You know, we explored her versus Jason. I think she probably loses to Aubrey heads up, but I think she's probably all right in a final two, but I think she has less likely to win in a final three.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I think that if she's there with in a final three with another Aubrey or Michelle, I think that they could take votes. They're going to take votes away from her that she normally probably would have had in a final two if she were to cut one of those two.
All right. Now, Jordan, this is the part in the podcast. I just want to like mark this for people, not mark the chicken, but I want to start incorporating some of what's going on in Big Brother into the mix as well. Sure. All right. We will still be talking about Survivor. If you don't know anything about Big Brother, I have a feeling you might still be able to enjoy some of what we're talking about. If you have been following Big Brother, you are in for a treat. Of course, this is the perfect day to merge what's going on with Survivor and Big Brother. Is today not the wedding day of the Beast Mode Cowboy?
It is. Yes, it's Beast Mode Cowboy's wedding. We saw Ty Trang.
Mazel Tov, Beast Mode Cowboy.
Rob, did you see that Ty showed up to Beast Mode's bachelor party?
Yes, I did see that.
Oh my God! Peekaboo.
Peekaboo.
So there we go. So Ty was there. Yeah, I saw Julia tweeting about it.
One thing's for sure about Beast Mode Cowboy's bachelor party.
I'm not going to go home with an eye on my pocket.
Yes, that's true. And then Anna Kate, I think, was also there, right? Is that true?
I wasn't paying too close of attention, but yeah, maybe Anna was there.
Ooh. Maybe she just like tweeted out a picture. I saw there was some picture that I saw on social media of her with him, but maybe it was just like sort of like, hey, like.
Rob, quickly, some live investigating. It looks like Anna Kate is in fact at Beast Mode's wedding. Her date is Ty Trang. There's a picture on her Instagram with Anna and Ty. So there you go. So Anna did get invited to Beast Mode's wedding. No word yet if Devin Bro got the call.
Wow. Any BB16 alumni showing up? This is like TMZ.
Based on the some stuff I've been hearing, I don't know if he's the most popular amongst the BB16 crew. So I don't know.
No disparaging of Beast Mode Cowboy on his wedding day.
No, he's the we got to congratulate him. You know, it's so great that Survivor really got it right with his edit this season and showed us the true Beast Mode.
Yes, yes, yes. Happy wedding to Beast Mode Cowboy. And all the best to the new Mr. and Mrs. Beast Mode Cowboy. All right.
Rob, quickly, sorry. Just one quick thing. I just want to share this intel with you now because I feel like it would make sense.
Okay.
So breaking news for you guys listening that are fans of Big Brother.
We have breaking news.
Breaking news are happening now.
Okay. So according to my sources, my very esteemed sources, Caleb was not supposed to be on Survivor this season. A Big Brother 16 alum was instead supposed to be there in his place.
Yeah.
And that person was Devin Bro.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Total blindside.
Apparently.
Bro, I'm going to be on Survivor. I'm going to get a loved one's visit from my daughter. We're going to have an alliance called the Bomb Squad.
The bomb doors are open.
But no joke, somebody from the Big Brother Canada alumni came to me recently and said, hey, did you hear that Devin was supposed to be on Survivor? And I said, what? And this person said, yeah, Devin was supposed to be on the season. And he's really mad because Beast Mode Cowboy took his spot and replaced him. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, OK, well, where did you hear this? And the person said, oh, well, from Devin.
Yeah.
So there you go.
All right. Don't get Devin mad at me. This is a blind item. A blind item that came
out. Devin doesn't even. We don't even know where if he's exists anymore. Rob. I mean, when's the last time anyone saw him? Yeah, he really is.
He's gone. All right. Well, let me give you some questions. All right. So people have some Big Brother questions that they want to ask you as well. Here is a question from our buddy Andrew.
Hey, Rob and Jordan. This is Andrew Kirk calling from Modesto, California. Got one quick question for you. Who is more likely for a second return on a CBS show? Julia Sobolowski from Survivor or Julia, oh my God, Nolan coming back on Big Brother? Let me know what you think.
Oh my God.
Okay, who is more likely to return to CBS reality? Julia Sobolowski or Julia Nolan?
When I first heard When I first heard the question, I thought, okay, well, it's a no-brainer. Obviously, it's Julia from this season of Survivor. I mean, she's clearly the better Julia. She is much more entertaining. She's better at the game. I guess maybe you could argue that Julia Nolan's kind of entertaining, although I personally kind of found her annoying. So, yeah, I mean, but I think that if we're talking just straight up CBS shows, I mean, that opens Amazing Race.
Are we counting Price is Right?
Oh, yeah. I guess if we're counting prices right, then I think...
No!
Yeah, no prices.
No, no prices right. Okay. So if we're counting prices right, then I think it's already over. But because of The Amazing Race, that's the factor. I think that perhaps the Nolan twins would be appealing to CBS, but at the same time, I don't really think so. I think if when push comes to shove, I think Survivor has shown time and time again, they bring back people more than any other CBS show. Big Brother, I think, has brought back like under 10 people to the franchise in the last 10 years or some crazy stat like mm-hmm. that Eric right. Stein was saying to me. So where Survivor has brought down back all of these crazy people. So I think it's hands down. It's Julia Sokolowski. And like you said on that Exit interview, she's going to be a huge threat. And I hope she wins because I'm a huge Julia fan.
Julia Sokolowski.
130%.
Yeah. I do think that's a good wild card you brought up of the possibility of the Nolan twins going on The Amazing Race. That is certainly a possibility that they do. The Amazing Race does have a propensity for identical twins. Mm-hmm. Also, they like to have attractive women, especially if they can get a pair of them. That's sort of killing two tropes, the attractive women team and also the identical twin team, plus also the reality star team. So that might be too tempting of an offer for The Amazing Race to leave untouched. But I will say that the possibility of Julia Sokolowski coming back, I think, is probably greater because I do think that she has that untapped potential of somebody. I do think that she has at least Andrea upside, and maybe even that she showed maybe more hustle in terms of the game. Like, because I think that Andrea's fatal flaw, I think, was that she does sometimes, you know, I feel like that there's a guy around and sometimes that gets her a little bit distracted. We didn't see that happen with Julia. Now, there were not a ton of eligible suitors out there for Julia, and maybe that might happen potentially if there was, say, like a, you know, eligible like a guy in his early 20s on the season, but we did not see Julia really. Yeah, you
are you guys like bays now, like what's going on?
Yeah.
No, I just have a huge crush on Julia, but no, I agree, I'm with you on that. I would say that Julia already, from what we've seen, is better than Andrea. I think Julia is, I mean, just the fact that she was able to play the middle so well, and this is her first time out too.
Andrea played with Boston Rob 4.0 her time around. So we don't really know exact, you know, if Andrea was on a season that did not have a four-time player on it, like maybe she has a little more wiggle room. I think that, you know, Rob kind of had her dead to rights and what she was up to. He sort of sussed out the whole working with Matt Elrod thing early on. You know, Philip was trying to get something going with Andrea the first time around. Like, it was very much Rob said she had to be the first person gone from Ometepe once they got the final six. So, you know, she came back into the game. She tried to get, you know, we don't need a whole rundown of Redemption Island, but I think that she did not have a lot of room to work. Didn't have a lot of rope.
At the same time, though, I think we could say that playing with Boston Rob 4.0 unlocked some untapped potential from Andrea. I think she learned some things by playing with Rob that perhaps she never would have learned ever from playing Survivor just on her own. So I think we could argue that as well. So I don't know. I think Julia, at the end of the day, I think Julia is going to be remembered as the clearly the better Survivor player than Andrea, and she's got there's more in the tank for her. There's more to come, and I'm excited to see her play again.
All right, so then let's go ahead and take another question for Jordan. This is a question from our buddy Mohammed.
Rob and JP, what's up? It's your boy Mohammed Abdi coming to you from Toronto, or should I now say, since it's relevant, the six. I have two questions for you guys. Did you guys get any – was it only me? Did you guys get any shades of Keith Nail from the Cambodia finale when Nick was talking about wanting to self-evict? I just imagine Nick saying in a Keith Nail voice, well, I think I'm going to take this one on to the house. Was I the only one to notice this? And my second question is, if Tim manages to get to the end and wins Big Brother Canada, is it safe to say that Tim – is the best Big Brother Canada player / winner, if you were to win, of all time? I mean, winning two seasons of Big Brother, I mean, it would be a big deal. And he has played a good game up to this point. What do you guys think? Thanks, guys.
All right, let's take that in two parts. First off, did you see any similarities? Because I actually got two phone calls about this. Somebody else made this same comparison of Nick from the Pax Bros to Keith Nail. They're like, oh, here, I'll just go to the house. Like, let Kimmy stay. She's got kids.
I did not see that comparison at all. I understand where it's coming from, but I mean, let's be honest. The brothers were never going to actually go up on the block. I mean, Arissa clearly gave them out and out, and people were saying, oh my gosh, production, they did this. And, you know, hey, I was even joking about it on Twitter with Arissa saying, are you sure you want to put yourself on the block? Well, the rules of Big Brother Canada state that as an HOH, you cannot nominate yourself.
But you think it was a move then? Because I went through this with Derek and Taryn yesterday, and they both like scoffed that off of like, no, like that's not, they don't think that far ahead.
I don't think it was a move. I think it was just a joke. I think the Pax Bros like to joke around. They like to have fun. I don't think that it was legit.
Nail joking when he said I'll just go to the house.
No, exactly. Which is why it's different. Keith was seriously was like, well, I'll go to the house just because he was, you know, the vote was time that was happening.
Was the house that Keith wanted to go to the Big Brother Canada house?
Oh my God. Rob, this is your greatest discovery since realizing that Mark the Chicken was actually Juicy J that Stephen ate on Survivor Cambodia. Wow. Amazing.
Wow.
I would actually like Keith on Big Brother would be fun. I would really like Keith Nail on Big Brother. He'd make Final Four easily. No problem. Same as Survivor.
Yeah. He'd be at least an America's favorite. Like write that $25,000 check out to him right away. He's in right in that James Big Brother 17 spot.
Yeah, definitely.
I love blood. Okay.
All right. All right, let's go to the other part of this question. If Tim won Big Brother Canada, would he be in the pantheon since he's already won a Big Brother Australia?
What, as the greatest of all time or the greatest winner?
I think, but well, both. I mean, if you want to say there are people in the greatest of all time that have not won, I mean, if you want to get into like the Daniel Reyes sort of conversation, we certainly can.
Okay, well, we're talking strictly about Canadian players, right? Not just big all time Big Brother. Are we saying like Big Brother North America? We're including Tim in this.
I mean, whatever you want, whatever criteria you want to say.
Okay. Well, let's break this down. Okay. So for the first statement, if Tim wins the game, is he the greatest winner in the history of Big Brother Canada? I think you could certainly argue it. I think that if he gets there, he's going to have to pull off some crazy stuff. He's already done a bunch of crazy stuff. But I think what John Party did in Big Brother Canada 2 was really impressive. And I think that John's, again, going back to the social game, John is actually a guy who had a social game that was off the charts. I think he's a guy, you just meet him, he has just the way that he carries himself, you can just see that he's just so good. He's amazing. And I've talked to people from Big Brother Canada too, and they knew that, yeah, you know what, John, they knew John was like lying to them or he was screwing them over, but they were okay with it just because they liked him so much. And that's something that you can't really teach. I think Tim kind of has that a little bit, but so I think there's a bit of an argument there between John and Tim, but I wouldn't argue really too hard against you if you wanted to say that Tim is the greatest player of all time. I would put an asterisk against him, though, because he is somebody who has played a version of Big Brother before against a field that isn't the greatest, whereas John, you know, managed to pull it off with, you know, as a newbie, not knowing anything about the game before and going up against, I would say, probably harder competition than Tim has gone up against. Paul Jackson, you know, Andrew Gordon, Sabrina Abate. I mean, there's three legends right there, Rob. In terms of greatest player of all time, I think that it's, for me, I've said this a few times, I think Godfrey Manguiza is the greatest player of all time at Big Brother Canada. I think that Neda Kalantar is in that discussion as well. I think both of them are better than Tim. So I wouldn't say that Tim is the greatest of all time.
All right, let's take another question. This is from one of our newer listeners. This is Jared.
Hey, Rob C, it's me, Jels Jared, and my question is for Jordan Parhar. Hey, Jordan, it's me, Jels Jared, and I just wanted to say you're my favorite character on Big Brother 3, so I was just wondering if you would like to sign my pectoral muscles. Also, I was also wondering if you thought it was a good idea for me to not cut the Kessler curls in order to win $100,000? Because let's face it, no curls, no girls. And also, it's Canadian money, so it's basically worthless. Thanks a lot for taking my question there, boys. You seem like a bunch of beauties, and we should go have a Molson in Winnipeg one time. Also, without Cassandra. All right. Peace.
Wow. Oh, my God. Jared. It was really him.
Wow, second time in 2 days.
Wow.
For me.
Yeah, that's amazing, Rob. Wow, look at you. He must have really made a good impression on him. Yeah, when you called Kelsey a Muppet and then changed it to a puppet in the interview.
That was a slip of the tongue.
Oh, okay. It happens.
It happens. Would you have cut your hair if you were Jared in the Big Brother Canada house?
Oh, come on. I mean, of course. I mean, I think that anybody who knows me would know. Mind you, I am a guy who, you know, I did sleep while I was in a competition to save my life. But if I had known I was going home, yes, I would have cut my hair. I would have done anything. Mind you, my hair is much shorter than Jared's, and Jared has much nicer hair than I do. But yeah, it's inexcusable. But I think this is what happens when you get people who aren't really the biggest fans of the show. They're more, you know, Jared, I think, was there because he thought, this would be kind of a fun thing, whatever, I'll go try it out. But he's not a diehard Big Brother fan. He doesn't need the $100,000. If he really needed it, he would have gone out and he would have cut his hair. And you know what? Hey, that's fine. If that's what he wants to do, I'm okay with that. And everybody's there for different reasons, so I can't really fault him for it. I am, however, going to say that he's really stupid for not doing that. But, you know, I'm a nice guy, and I will sign his pectoral muscle at the end of the season. And we'll have some Molsons with him in Winnipeg, Rob.
Without Cass.
Just the three
not
of
invited.
Us.
All right, let's take a question that was sent to us by Gregory McBean. Wants to know, how do you think that the brothers twist would play out on Survivor, if at all? Could you imagine a scenario like that? And again, if you are listening to this and you don't know what we're talking about, and well, first off, God bless you. But yes. Second of all, that the twist on Big Brother Canada is that these guys, the Pax Bros, are real life brothers. They came into the house and I think they thought that they were playing separately. They're actually playing as one person. They get one vote. I actually think that this would not work at all. And they're still in the game at the final five, you know, shot at winning this thing. So I feel like that on Survivor that people would look at them, say that's one extra mouth to feed. They would be gone almost instantly.
I mean, I thought the exact same thing about Big Brother, but they managed to survive. I think it would depend on the tribe they got put on and how desperate they were for challenge wins. I mean, I guess we're assuming that only one brother partakes in challenges per episode.
Yeah, but on Survivor, both brothers are going to take place in eating.
Yeah, I guess that is a pretty big thing, but I mean,
and they're going to eat a lot.
But I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. I think it's pretty rare that you're going to see a pair of two big physical threats playing as one player. I think in any of these shows, other than Amazing Race, I think that they're going to be, if they're playing as one person, I think it's pretty likely they're going to go pre-jury every single time. It's impressive that they managed to at least get to where they are now. I have no idea how they made it to Final Five, but they're here. And hey, Rob, they might actually win if they can somehow win some competitions. And based on how things have been going for them, it's certainly possible.
All right, let's take a question from Trevor.
Hey, guys. It's Trevor from Vancouver. Which fan favorite is more likely to win their show? Tim on Big Brother Canada or Ty Trang on Survivor? Love you, Bay.
All right. Which fan favorite is more likely to win? If you had to pick today, we're recording this April 30th, 2016. Who you got, Tim or Ty?
Oh, it's Tim, hands down. I mean, Ty has got no chance.
No, 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 no!
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I personally like Ty more than Tim, but Ty's just got such a huge target on his back. Tim, if he can manage to get to Final Four, I think he's in a decent spot. He's just got to win a couple competitions and he wins the game, and I think that's very doable at this stage.
Unfortunately, so Tim over Ty.
Tim over Ty. You agree with that, Rob?
I think that's probably the safest way to go. If you were going to be handicapping this in Vegas, I think that would definitely be the way that it would shake out.
Yeah, it's not much of a question at this point. I mean, which sucks because I would love to see Ty win. Ty is just amazing. But yeah, and even for Tim, I think it's going to be hard for him to win as well. He's going to have some things go his way. He's going to have needs luck to be on his side, but definitely more doable at this stage.
Here is a question from one of our Canadian listeners for Jordan.
Yo, bros, this is the third Pax Bro calling from Ottawa.
My question is, who would win in the finals, Cassandra or my bros, the Pax Bros? P.S. Cassandra, more like Assandra. Yo!
Wow, the third Pax brother calling into the podcast.
Yeah, apparently they have someone in their family named Caillou, so I guess that's Caillou Paquette who called in. Great to talk to you finally, Caillou. I think Cassandra certainly deserves to win over the Pax Bros. I think she has played the far better game.
But would she?
I don't know. I think Cassandra's going to struggle with getting some jury votes. I think that against the Pax Bros, I think she would, because I think the bros would have the support of Jared. They would have the support of Kelsey. So there's two votes right there. I think for perhaps someone like Raul, I think that he would potentially vote for them as well. Maddie, I think, doesn't really care for either the bros or Cassandra, and I think she probably values competition wins more, so I think she could vote, lean towards the Pax Bro side. Cassandra, if we could just quickly keep running through this, Cassandra would probably have Joel, she would probably have Tim, she would probably have Mitch. Nikki is one I think that she might go for the brother. So yeah, it would be tough. I think
she does what Mitch tells her to do.
Yeah, that's true. So I would hope that Cass would still win, but just based on all those numbers I just laid out, I think that the brothers, I think they might win in that scenario.
Here's the spoiler, though. So you've sort of outlined potentially a 4-4 scenario. There's a Canada vote. Who does Canada like? I would have said up until this week, Canada definitely votes for the Pax Bros, but Cassandra had a really strong week. And I feel like that she has maybe some sort of the same things that made Brittany one of Canada's favorite players last season. I think she has that spunk. I think that Canada really likes that, especially like, standing up to the bully. I think that they really probably are very favorable to her. So I think it'd be a real toss up between how would Canada vote, Pax Bros or Cassandra.
I think they would probably vote for Cassandra just because the Pax Bros edit has really taken a nosedive. I mean, we saw that episode last week where Phil was like, I'm the best. I'm the best in my life. I'm not on the block. I'm in the Big Brother house. This is my dream. None of these people can get me. I'm the best. I'm better than Derek. All this crazy stuff. I mean, I think anybody watching that really cringed. I know I did. And so I think that all good to Phil, that stuff happens when you're in the house. It's easy to get arrogant. It certainly happened to me. I don't think I ever went that crazy with what I was saying, but I mean, it does happen when you're in the house. So I think that it would be Cassandra. I also think the one thing would be interesting that was talked about on the podcast yesterday with Derek and Taryn was the idea of Ramsey coming back and Ramsey voting.
Well, Drake is huge right now.
Drake is huge. Views from the Six just dropped, Rob. I don't know how into the rap music you are and the hipping and hopping.
Yeah,
Drake is huge.
Final Six.
Final Six, exactly. Views from the Final Six with Ramsey.
Yeah.
That's where it would be interesting. I don't think Ramsey really cared for Cass too much. He didn't really care for Cass too much when he was in the house. But I don't know if he was super tight with the brothers either. So that one will be interesting. I think Ramsey would probably just do what the fans kind of wanted more. So I think Ramsey would probably lean to Cassandra, but I could see him going either way. It's going to be interesting if that's what it comes down to. Personally, though, I don't even think it's ever going to get down to Cass in the Pax Bros. So I don't know why we jumped down this 8-minute rabbit hole.
It was asked by one of the Pax Bros. Jordan, you did say that you did not get that crazy in the Big Brother house. You didn't say that many crazy things. You did say this.
It may be these logs, but Willow is starting to give me some wood in that beaver costume, and I think I need to jump in this cold water to calm down.
I did say that. Yes, I did say that.
It's my one quote that I have from you from Big Brother Canada 3.
Yeah, needless to say, my parents weren't too thrilled about that DR that I had. But for me personally, one of the highlights of the season is that I have that on my resume.
I love the intro to it. Really. Yeah, the real music. Build up.
It may be these logs, but Willow is starting to give me some wood in that.
All right, we don't need to. All right. All right. That was, as Big Brother as it gets, people in beaver costumes.
And jumping in cold water to calm yourself down. Yeah. It's what happens.
Speaking of costumes, what did you think was worse? Jared deciding that he didn't want to shave his head to potentially win the veto, or Heather in Big Brother 2. I feel like she had to wear a unitard for an extra 6 days, and she could have potentially won a veto.
Yeah, I mean, it kills me to say this because Heather's one of my friends, but I mean, if we're going by using the Sesternino mindset of open door number one, you're closer to the end. If one is one scenario, you're closer to the end. The other scenario, you're not as close to the end. So I think the Heather one is definitely
right. I have
worse.
That right. She just had to wear wear the costume that you're wearing for another 5 days.
Yeah, that's all it was, and she would have won, and she didn't do it. So, I mean, it's just mind-boggling for me. I think. Heather's probably, Heather's got a lot of stuff going on, so she's probably not kicking herself too much over that, but I think that one, that's an underrated dumb move that doesn't really get talked about too much in the pantheon of dumb moves. So thank you for not forgetting that, Rob.
All right, let's take a question from Nina.
Hello, Rob and Jordan. It's Nina here from Sweden. I'm wondering, what do you think about the Pax Bros and the fact that they are throwing away their game this week? In my mind, they are betcha. Love you, babes.
Is that true?
The Pax Bros have already been throwing away their games for a while. So I don't really know if it's that. It's more egregious with what they're doing right now compared to before. You know what? As much as the Pax Bros get a lot of hate, I will say this. I'm impressed that they've managed to somehow survive. And, they're still in the game. So, they are dumb, but they've said a lot of very, very stupid things. But they're in there. And I got to tip my cap to them at least for getting this far, because they have no business, Rob. No business being in the final five. These guys should have been out in the Jinja Ninja spot week 3. They should have been done. They shouldn't have been even anywhere near here. But they've somehow managed to skate by. So, and they can still win, because we're at the stage where they can just win competitions, and there's only a few more left, and they're the winners somehow. Yeah. So the Pax Bros, they're really dumb, but we need that on Big Brother. We need the foil character. We need the bad guys, the villains. It's like wrestling, kind of, right? We need those guys in the house. So it's good to have them around.
I like that you're getting worked up.
It's good to get worked up. I don't always get too worked up when I'm hosting, because I try to stay neutral, but, now I'm in the guest chair, Rob, so I can say whatever I want. It's fun.
Dave Backer wanted to write in to say, how does Jordan Parhar do on Big Brother Canada 4? Have you thought about that? Have you explored it at all? That's a sort of thought experiment if you were on this season?
Rob, every day I cry myself to sleep and I think, wow, if I was in the Big Brother Canada 4 house and I had an alliance with Jared called Bayside and we worked together... And we had these stupid hand pointing signals.
You would have been the new Raul.
I would have been the new Raul. We would have gone into the veto comp, and I would have told you, like a blind mouse, I would have given him the keys to the veto, and I would have said, I won't win it. You win it, Jared. And he would have saved himself, and I would have gone on the block and gone home and sent a jury right out the door after Mitch. It would have been great. But but for real, Rob, I mean, I think everybody from my season has said, oh, well, if I was on BB Can 4, I mean, I would win because I'm so good. You know what? I mean, it's tough. I think if I went in now as a person who has played, there's two differences. If I'd go in now as somebody who has already played the game, I think I would do pretty well
as a second timer, but you got to put yourself in there as a first timer.
Exactly. But as a first timer, let's say we switch me and Joel. Joel's on Big Brother Canada 3. Jordan Parhar's on Big Brother Canada 4.
Okay.
What probably happens is, I think I would probably do well at the start. I think I probably would have. I mean, we look at this season, you look at someone like Mitch, he was the mighty middle. That was really happening.
Okay.
That was something that I tried to make happen.
And then you make the fortress with him.
And I make the fortress with Mitch, exactly.
Yeah.
Except Mitch is the one clowning me. He's the one, I'm the one doing the signs in the diary room by myself, and he's not the one doing it. But, I would have probably, here's what would have happened. I think something that I really screwed up on in my game was, there's a lot of things, but one major thing was that I got tunnel vision. I was really set on, I was looking at the game and I said, okay, who is in my way to win this game? And I said to myself, okay, Bruno, I have to get rid of Bruno. I have to do whatever I can to get rid of Bruno or Bobby and get rid of, you know, cut down this chop shop, and then I can, you know, cruise to the end. And I think if I was on this season, if I was in Joel's spot, I would have done the same thing with either Mitch or Tim, because I think I would have realized very fast, okay, these are my only threats to win. I need to get rid of them right now. And the type of personality I have is I'm a very neurotic person, and I overthink a lot of things. And I think that I probably, you know, I would have done okay for a bit, but I probably would have been out early jury, similar to the Mitch spot. Or yeah, you know, Levita, I probably would have been Mitch. Levita probably would have screwed me over. I would have gone up on the block. I would have gone home. And that's pretty much what it would have been. I mean, maybe I wouldn't be, I wouldn't have had that Air Godfrey moment that we got from last season. So I'm kind of glad that I got that. But yeah, I mean, I don't think Rob, playing these games, and that's why I was so impressed with Julia, is when you play these games, it's really hard when you're really young and you don't even really fully know yourself yet. That's something that Richard Hatch talks a lot about, is knowing who you are as a person before you go into one of these games. And if you don't really know who you are and you're not 100% fully confident in your own skin and you don't fully have that life experience, it's really tough to win. And I don't, or and even to do well for that matter. So I don't think it probably would have been a similar thing for me on this season.
Oh, well, look, it all happens for a reason.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and I'm fine with that. You know, I got the full experience. I had a blast. And yeah, it sucks that I went out the way I did. And it sucks that
it was memorable.
But it happens, right? It happens, man. That's life. Much worse things could be happening to me. And, you know, I feel like we talked about this in the pre-show. I'm one of those people. I think I'm one of the people who has played Big Brother that I don't need to go back and play this game again. And how I did on Big Brother, I don't lose sleep over it. And it doesn't really define me as a person, because I have, you know, other things that I'm working towards. Whereas I think a lot of the people that go on these shows, getting back on Survivor, getting back on Big Brother, that's really all they have going for them. And I really feel bad for those people, because like, there's no way of banking on that. You have no idea if you're going to get a call again. You don't even know if with Big Brother Canada, hey, it could get canceled tomorrow. You have no idea. So yeah, my life is fine right now, as Jeff Probst would say.
Yeah, and I think that when you really take a step back, I think you really had the perfect experience where you got to go do it. You know, it's opened some doors to do some other things. And I'm not just talking about being on reality TV for happy hour and stuff like that, that, you know, I think that people probably underestimate how much like Julia, how young of a guy you are, because you do carry yourself that you seem a lot older than you are, but you're still in school and, you know, you're going to go on to do some really great things. I'm very confident about all that, but you had your experience, but you didn't get close enough where it's like, oh, I could taste it. And you didn't get like where you're like, okay, well now it's all about all stars. So you're able to sort of focus on like doing other things in your, where you do get sort of like stuck in a trap for a lot of people where it's like, oh, I was so close. If I could just get back and then I'll win the show. Or I got to work on making all my pregame alliances to get set up for All Stars. So you got to go there. You went on all the rides and then you're able to come home and now, you know, figure out what the next thing is going to be.
Yeah, Rob, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That's the kind words. It means a lot. And I'm with you 100%, because I know some of my friends are currently going through that process of, oh, no, I have to be friends with this person in order to, for, you know, otherwise it's going to be bad for All Stars. And I have to think about this. And oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to put my life on hold again. But I don't know when it is. So I can't plan for the next few years, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it was a huge weight taken off my shoulders. It really was the perfect situation for me, getting to first on the jury. It's a good spot. It's not so bad. And hopefully Mitch is okay after this whole thing too.
Listen, out of anybody from this whole season, Mitch is going to be the most okay out of anybody.
Yeah, I agree.
He was more than okay before he went in the house. He's going to get me away from this Big Brother. Let me just get back to what I'm supposed to be doing with myself.
Oh yeah. He's killing it. He's doing a great
job.
He's
going to be fine. If Jeff Probst's life is fine, Mitch's life is really, really fine.
Really, really fine.
Really fine. Okay. Let's take a question. This is another one. I want to talk about some of these animals.
Robin JP 604 calling in for the voicemail. Can you guys do a power rankings between Mark the Chicken, Marsha from Big Brother Canada, and the Zingbot? These non-human characters are on reality show. Thank you. 604 proper.
Okay. All right. Could we rank sort of the inhuman or non-human mascots of the three franchises that we're discussing between Survivor, Big Brother, and Big Brother Canada?
Yeah, okay, let's do this. First, great call from Zingbot's baby there. I didn't realize he or she is kicking around.
604.
604, and in the 604, yeah, in my neck of the woods. I guess I would probably put Mark the Chicken last.
Yeah, because Mark the Chicken is not really, Mark the Chicken is having his moment in the sun, but he is not the de facto mascot of Survivor, and he might be dead.
He's in Steven right now.
Yes.
This could help him, I guess, a little bit, help his stock, because I really like Steven, but
He could die on the show next week. So I think you have to have him number three in the power rankings.
Number three, definitely. If we were going to include a Survivor mascot, I would have said Tata the Bushman. Because
he's only in one episode. He's not, he's fun. You know, we remember him in our hearts, but that he only had, 10 minutes on the show.
Malcolm's best friend, Tata the Bushman. That's a good point. So, okay, so Mark is in third. So it comes down to Zingbot versus Marsha the Moose. I think I would probably
Zingbot's at Price is Right.
Canadians might get mad at me for this, but I think I would put Marsha at two and I would put Zingbot at one. I thought Marsha was really good on season one of Big Brother Canada, but the rest of the appearances we've got from Marsha.
Jordan, why could you say that about me?
That actually is pretty good.
Not great.
Yeah, it's not bad. So I would say Zingbot's better. And just for Zingbot has really gotten some people good over the years. Really good.
But I also really feel good. Like that Zingbot is sort of living off the past as well. Like, I feel like that hasn't been really, really strong probably since maybe like Big Brother 13 or like...
14, which was Danielle. Shane is going to have a present for you at the end of the season. A restraining order. That was peak Zingbot.
Yeah. And he really burned Christine, I think, pretty good in Big Brother 16. That was over the top.
Yeah, that was over the top. That was too much. I love Christine. But I would say, but even then, I think Zingbot's got more on his resume than Marsha the Moose does. Marsha the Moose just has
right. But Marsha the Moose, to me, is almost like the co-host of the show, is almost like the Dunkelman to Orisa's Seacrest. That's probably not the right analogy, but
no, Dunkelman we saw more than once a season.
Right. But no, but Marsha the Moose, you see like probably like three or four times a season. Like Marsha the Moose is there many times along the way, whereas Zingbot has like it's one night. Oh, it's Zingbot night. And it's a big night, but then that's it. One night out of 40, whereas Marsha the Moose, I think you see, maybe up to five times a season.
Yeah, I don't think we five times. Like, did we see Marsha five times last year? I thought we only saw Marsha during the awards thing.
No, they definitely showed up a couple times. And then also, like, when they're driving across Canada, they hit Marsha the Moose.
Yeah, that's true. They hit Marsha. I mean, I don't know if she was really... It was very minor. See, that's the thing. Yeah. What do you prefer? Four little appearances from Marsha or one Zingbot thing? Marsha does zing people pretty good, though, at times. So, yeah, I could see it both ways.
Yeah. Marsha the Moose has like a sexual tension with Peter Brown.
Yeah. We'll see that on All Stars again. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Give me Zingbot. I don't know. For me, as somebody who grew up on Big Brother US, I've got to stay loyal to the Zingbot.
Okay, there you go. All right, let me give you another question regarding Mark the Chicken. This is from Matthew.
Hello, my name is Matthew, long-time listener, first-time caller. The question is about Mark. We know that he's being set up for a dinner edit, but how well would he do Big Brother?
Or would Mark the Chicken do better on Big Brother?
Oh, of course Mark the Chicken would do better on Big Brother, because in Big Brother, there's food, Rob. You can eat whatever you want. So Mark the Chicken's going to the end on Big Brother. If Ty's in the Big Brother house and he brings Mark with him, Mark's going all the way to the end.
Yeah, there's almost no chance of Mark the Chicken being slaughtered and eaten on Big Brother.
No, there's 0% chance. And when you're in the house, I mean, you are so bored. You have nothing to do. At least with Survivor, you're outside. You know, you're not all cooped up. But in the Big Brother house, like a chicken. In the Big Brother house, you're bored. You have nothing to do with the same people over and over again. And having Mark there would at least, you know, give you someone else to talk to, someone else to interact with and hang out with. So, you know, maybe you could go swimming in the pool with Mark or bring Mark in the hot tub. And you don't have to worry about Mark eating your food because you can just feed him slop. It wouldn't really matter. So yeah, Mark would be great on Big Brother.
He probably really liked the slop.
I think he probably would. I think slop, I mean, it's really bad for humans, but I mean, we're like pretty spoiled if you think about the types of foods we get to eat. Whereas, you know, you think about what a chicken eats, it's probably pretty crappy.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask Josh Wiggler. He's an expert on chickens.
Yeah. Or he can ask his wife.
Yes.
She knows all this stuff about chickens. Okay. And one last question for you regarding the jury process of Big Brother and Survivor. This is from another Jordan in Vancouver.
Hey, what's up, JP? It's the other Jordan from Vancouver here. I just want to talk a little bit about the Big Brother jury and how I think they should adopt the formula that Survivor uses for the jury, in a sense that they get to go to every single tribal council and watch live what everyone says, their exact speeches, their gameplay that they use to play off one another. And I think the Big Brother Canada jury should also be able to do that. They should be able to live feed in, watch the POV ceremonies, see what kind of campaigns people have when they're on the block, see who says what when they nominate someone. And I think it would just give them a lot more insight into voting for a winner at the end of the game. Love to hear your thoughts. Peace.
Okay. Now, we're joking around about a lot of stuff, but I feel like this is actually a pretty good question. Now, you were the first member of the jury in Big Brother Canada 3, and you got to watch all those DVDs as they came in and had some sort of a picture of what went on during your season.
Well, actually, no, we didn't get any DVDs, Rob. Oh. It was all word of mouth, so we had nothing.
Okay. So that's very interesting to me. And then also, you know, you came home and watched your season, I would imagine, even the parts beyond when you got voted out, and yes, then probably had a different picture of what goes on, as opposed to on Survivor, these jurors go to every tribal council and they sit there and they get to see a lot more of what goes on Big Brother. So have you given this any thought in terms of how these juries pick winners? That do you feel like that there is the system flawed between North American Big Brother?
Oh, well, yeah, the system is definitely flawed with North American Big Brother for sure. And that's a great question by Jordan. I mean, the first thing I would do is, even outside of this, is go back to the pre, you know, the BB10 and before formula of, you know, just the finale night, actually give the jury a chance to ask some in-depth questions to the final two, because you don't see that on Big Brother. It's a very quick, 30-second interaction between the juror and finalist, and it just doesn't really work well, and you don't really get much insight. So I think, ultimately, if there's something we can do to give the jurors more information without making them biased, I think absolutely it should happen. So, yeah, I would love to see this. I think it would be a really cool idea. I know at least for last year, the jury house was within driving distance of the actual house. So it would have been feasible for that to happen on Big Brother Canada, for the jurors to come in and actually, you know, watch, come in on eviction nights and see people get voted out and see those speeches. Or even, you know, yeah, even just to get like some live feeds of the house, or to get some videos, more than just, you know, Big Brother US, they do tend to get competitions and stuff like that. And on Big Brother Canada this year, it seems like they got something for the whole Ramsay situation. But yeah, last year we got nothing. So yeah, absolutely. Anything to help us crown a better winner, or to give them more information without, you know, hurting the process. Like, don't show the diary rooms, but
of course not. Yeah.
Yeah. But everything else. Yeah. Why not? I think that's fair game. I mean, I think, you know, looking back, for me, I voted for Sarah Hamlin to win. I think Sarah played a great game, and at the time I felt like that was the right move. I don't regret my decision, and because my vote didn't count. I didn't get a vote.
You got the vote, but it didn't count.
It didn't count. But I think, looking back now, I think Godfrey was the more deserving winner for sure. Godfrey played the better game strategically, in my opinion.
All right, Jordan. Well, we will see what the Big Brother Canada jury decides in but less than 2 weeks. And what the Survivor jury decides in less than 3 weeks. And then it's summer vacation.
Summer vacation, Rob. It's going to be fun. School's out. in a couple weeks for me. So I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, BB-18 coming up should be lots of fun. I can't wait to see. Maybe it's All-Stars, maybe it's not. But I'm excited for it nonetheless.
All right. So lots of fun stuff going on. So if you're not already listening to the reality TV Rahappy Hour with Jordan Parhar, you can't spell R-H-A-P without, well, I have it backwards, but you get the idea. You get the gist.
You can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P. Yeah. There you go. Great job.
Well, perhaps the best theme song in all of R-H-A-P.
Yeah, all done by Ryan Elder. Did a great job with that. So huge thanks to Ryan. He just reached out to me one day and said, hey, do you want a theme song? And I said, yeah, I want a theme song. And he made it, and it's great. So yeah, check it out. Go to robbizwebsite.com/rahappyhour. If you want to hear some Big Brother Canada coverage, and I don't know, we'll have some Big Brother and Survivor stuff in the off season. Who knows what we'll do? We've done a lot of ranking shows and stuff like that before. So if you're into, you know, those types of things, definitely check it out.
It'll be a quick off season because I think we're probably about a month away from Big Brother US kicking off on Big Brother 18. I think that's for like June, like 22nd or 23rd, right around there. So about a month in between. And I'm sure we'll have some postseason interviews as well with the Big Brother Canada crew along the way. Do you have a finale coverage planned out yet, or that's still too far away?
Well, no, actually, Rob, you asked me at the beginning of the show what I'm going to do. That's legitimately what I'm going to, or sorry.
After you finish the ice cream cake, you're going to do a podcast?
Yeah, see, I thought you meant, am I going to the finale? I'm not actually going to the finale, but in terms of, which is really disappointing for me this year. But
isn't that like
work.
A big bender for all of the Big Brother contestants to get together for that?
Oh, yeah, of course it is. And I'm missing out. It sucks.
And you didn't clear out your whole calendar for this?
Well, I couldn't because with my school, I'm doing a practicum right now. So, like, you have to be there every day and you can't get away. And there's all this crazy stuff. And with work, it was just too hard. So, I'll be there next season or something. I'll figure it out. But, yeah, I think what the plan is we'll be live right after the finale on finale night. I think that's May 12th. So, that's a Thursday. Okay. Yeah. So, Thursday, May 12th, I will not be at the finale, which means I can podcast about it live afterwards. So I'll be live with the live feed correspondents. We'll talk about the winner and all that stuff. It'll be a lot of fun.
All right. And then we will have coverage as well on RHAP Proppa on Friday the 13th. Ooh,
there you go.
Yeah. Okay. So very exciting as the season winds down. I feel like it's been a good Big Brother Canada season.
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, it started off as I thought, oh, wow, clearly this is going to be the best season ever. I think it's kind of tailed off a little bit, but it's still been a good season. Better than last year.
Law of averages came down to earth a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So very excited about that. Follow the great Jordan Parhar on Twitter. He is at Jordan Parhar. What's the hashtag? We have so many different things that we've talked about here today.
I think we got to go with our buddy Jared. Hashtag sign Jared's pecs.
What is the percent chance that you have a meeting with Jared in real life and he says, Jordan, I was a big fan of yours, a Big Brother of Canada 3. It would really mean a lot to me if, could you sign my pecs? What is it, one in a million?
Is it possible to have a negative percent chance, Rob?
I have a Sharpie, and I was just hoping that if you could, it would mean a lot to me.
See, I would have believed that voicemail call was real, but then he said that he was a big fan of me and knew who I was. Jared has no idea who I am. I mean, this guy didn't even know who Emmett was when he came in the house, so he's not going to know who your boy JP is, unfortunately.
If that could happen, what if I'm on, you know, scrolling through Instagram one day and I see a picture of Jared's pecs signed by Jordan Parhar?
Can I get a reward, Rob, from that? Can I like, can we do like, can I get a raise maybe if we do that? Or maybe, I don't know what we want to do. Here's the new bet. Okay. Here's the new bet. In order for me to get on voicemails for Survivor 33, I have to get a picture of me signing Jared's pecs and put it on Instagram.
Did we learn nothing from the Cassandra bet? There is no upside. This was a good podcast. I like having you on the voicemail. Stop trying to make this a hard thing. That's where we got screwed up with this. But then I had to make the schedule for the season. And then I didn't know if Cassandra was going to make the jury. It looked like she was going to get voted out at one point. So I didn't have a slot to book you. I ran out of weeks. So we had to sort of throw something together here. so I could make good on the bet. It's a good podcast. Stop.
Okay. Then here's what we'll do. Okay. So if I can get the Jared Peck picture.
Yes.
Then
at least make it that he's signing your pecs. At least that's
doable. Okay, so one or the other.
The guy wouldn't shave his head. He's not going to let you write on him with a Sharpie and sign your name on his pecs.
Okay. So
Jared's trying to get those pecs in front of, you know, different women fans that he meets that he doesn't want to bring the value down of Jared's pecs by having you sign them.
Okay. So instead, what we'll do is a picture of Jared signing my pecs in Sharpie, put it on Instagram. And if I can do that, Rob, then we have to do a live. You have to come to Vancouver or Seattle for a live show.
Okay.
We'll do that.
Fine.
Okay. If I can pull that
that's
off.
The thing. Right. If it's helping you get a date when Jared is signing your pecs. So it's like, hey, like, you want to see my pecs? Jared signed them. I'm like, oh, okay, sure.
I didn't even think about that. That's actually a really good strategy, Rob.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I think so. So go for that. I think that's the move.
That definitely the move. I will take note of that and, hopefully this will happen at some point.
All right. That hundreds of people in the Pacific Northwest are riding on the hopes and dreams of a Sharpie in your pocket.
Yeah, I might have to make a trip to Winnipeg this summer, Rob. I'm on summer vacation. I got some spare time. I think I might have to hop in my 2004 Nissan Sentra and drive across the country.
Just don't have Cass and Shotgun if you want a shot at that. You're not invited, I heard.
No, definitely not.
All right. So good stuff, Jordan. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Really do appreciate it. I definitely am looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. And again, for those of you who made it to the end of this bonus podcast, can't thank you guys enough. The heart and soul of RHAP. I'm sure that many, many of you who have made it this far are the patrons of Rob as a podcast. And again, thanks to you for making all this possible. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, go to robisawebsite.com/patron. Click on the banners in the sidebar of robisawebsite.com. And thanks so much. Have a good one. Take care, everybody. Bye.